This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, guys and girls, welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter at Michael5Ritter. And as you know, on Instagram at MichaelRitter5, also the host of the Football Function Podcast, which is coming up very shortly. Football season is right around the corner, and I promise you, you're going to want to tune in to what we got going on in the Football Function Podcast. It's pretty entertaining, and just a little bit of a wrestling twist to it. Here on the past two episodes, I've actually put a wrestling song at the end of the episode, just kind of as the show goes off the air, as we close our recording session. Just kind of have a little song. Like the first week I had Undertaker, The Rollin' by Limp Bizkit version. And then I had Edge last week, the Never Gonna Stop Me version. So both their old school songs, not their current songs that they have, or at least their most recent. But I just like to have a little bit of wrestling twist on there, as you guys know. I mean, you can't just keep wrestling out of your life completely, no matter what you're doing. There's always going to be references. I mean, I go to NFL games all the time, like you guys know, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard Triple H's theme song played in the speakers, Stone Cold song, just to kind of hype up the crowd. So they know what they're doing. So definitely tune into the Football Function if you are a football fan. But that's not why we're here today. We're here to talk about SmackDown. SmackDown that aired on August 27th, 2021 from Little Rock, Arkansas. I've actually been to Little Rock a few times, but only on my way to Atlanta, and it's just part of the route. It's one of the few stops that you make. It's like a big city. I mean, there's a lot of big cities that you make on that route. First, you stop in Oklahoma City, then Memphis, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas, Jackson, Mississippi, too, before that. That might not be the right order, but yeah, Jackson, Little Rock, Birmingham, and then you get to Atlanta, but Little Rock, I'm usually always asleep because I'll drive from my hometown, Amarillo, Texas, to Oklahoma City. That's about a 3.5 hour drive. Me and my roommate will switch off, and then for whatever reason, I sleep for like 8 hours. And then I wake up in Birmingham, Alabama, which is actually pretty crazy. But no more of that. We do not need to go any further with the off-topic stuff. As you guys know, I'll get distracted a little bit here, but we're here to talk about SmackDown, and this SmackDown was a pretty good one. I actually enjoyed it. I felt like some storylines were the ones that are continuing, such as Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, that kind of started at SummerSlam. We got a little bit of an explanation from Becky Lynch, and then Finn Balor, that's another one that's kind of continuing. He definitely made an appearance here on SmackDown, as well as some other things that happened. We get a new version of Baron Corbin, maybe, or should I say Happy Corbin now. So that's definitely a good thing that happened on this episode, just because now we get another version. You know, eventually probably that sad version of Baron Corbin, although he actually was starting to include his social media more, which was making it a lot more entertaining and a lot more interesting. I think that he might have switched at the right time because nobody had a chance to get stale on that, you know, like now everybody has good memories, or at least fond memories, of that version of him. And now we get this new version, which seems like it's going to be pretty entertaining too, just given the segment that he had in the show with Big E. But we'll get to some big ticket items here first. So I guess while we're on it, let's talk about Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, the Usos, all that stuff. Well, the show kind of, at least this specific program, the first time it was featured in the show was with Paul Heyman backstage talking to Caleb Braxton, and she immediately asks him, hey, Paul Heyman returned at SummerSlam. I think the elephant in the room, the question that everybody wants to know, where do you stand in all this? And he almost seems offended that she even asks, and he says, I stand where I always stand, right by my tribal chief Roman Reigns. And he basically tries to get her to, you know, go away. And he tries to go in the locker room. Well, the locker room's locked, to everybody's surprise. And he can't get in. Well, it goes to commercial break. It comes back. He still can't get in, but the Usos come out. And this is where it gets interesting, because they immediately show that they're not so sure about Heyman's role in all this Brock Lesnar stuff. They definitely think that he knew about it. I mean, you can tell right away. They actually accuse him of knowing. They say, come on, you knew that Brock Lesnar was going to show up. You sent us backstage before the match. You told us not to be at ringside with Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman says that that was actually Roman Reigns' call, not his. I guess we'll take it at face value, take Paul Heyman's word for it. But he wants to be very clear that he is not. He swore on everything holy that he had no idea that Brock Lesnar was going to show up. So despite the, you know, I mean, despite being hesitant, like the Usos being hesitant with trusting him, eventually Roman Reigns shows up and he does let him go inside the locker room. But he asked Paul Heyman, hey, why are you standing outside the locker room? Like, what the hell's going on? And then you could just tell that Paul Heyman's kind of acting weird. And this is good stuff. I love this. I love that this is the angle that they're taking, that they're actually going to play into Paul Heyman having history with Brock Lesnar. And they're going to make it seem like the Usos are skeptical, but Roman Reigns trusts Paul Heyman 100%. And I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, it sucks that it's going to be a Crown Jewel. I've never actually gotten to watch a Crown Jewel pay-per-view because it's like at 2:30 in the afternoon or 10 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm at work. If they did it on a Sunday or something like that, if I'm not mistaken, it's been like on a Friday, maybe even on a Thursday one time. I mean, am I wrong there in thinking that? Because I feel like if it was on a Sunday, no matter what time it was, I would watch it. But I've missed every single Crown Jewel or every single Saudi Arabia pay-per-view, the Greatest Royal Rumble. I have not gotten to see one. Of course, I've gone back and I've watched some of it. I mean, I'm not just completely blind to it, but it's not something that I necessarily make an appointment to watch, you know? So I'm not really concerned with that pay-per-view as a whole. But if you're going to have a match like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar on it, I mean, you're going to make time to watch that. So, I mean, I'm definitely going to have to see what I can do to watch Crown Jewel. But, I mean, it's kind of a weird place to have a match of this type of caliber. You know, I would definitely try to save this for one of the big four pay-per-views or at least a B pay-per-view. You know, Saudi Arabia, I feel like, is just a glorified house show. I mean, I've never really been high on these events. I mean, the women have only had one match there in the history, so it's really only guys there. I'm just not really a fan of the Saudi Arabia shows. But we didn't get any Brock Lesnar sighting, so he was not here on SmackDown. But on a typical Brock Lesnar program, whenever he's not there, normally the entire situation is like at a standstill. Maybe we might get a promo from Roman Reigns addressing Brock Lesnar, saying, everybody comes back to acknowledge me at some point, kind of what he put on Twitter, maybe get a little bit from Paul Heyman. I like that they're throwing in Finn Balor, though. I like that they're kind of getting us somewhere. Like, I know it's kind of like a stepping stone. It has that a bit of that feeling. But when it's somebody like Finn Balor and you know he can put on a 5-star match in his sleep, you know you're going to get some good content here. So I'm all for Finn, and it's just another reason why SmackDown is so good. No matter what you think about WWE, SmackDown is a show that can hang with any show here in professional wrestling, and that's just honestly what I think. But this is why SmackDown is so good, because they're not just going to, you know, make you tread water here until Brock Lesnar makes his, you know, once a month appearance on SmackDown or whatever it's going to be. They're throwing in Finn Balor. No, we're going to give you a good program here to get you to Extreme Rules. But speaking of Extreme Rules, whenever Finn Balor came out and he said, I was going to challenge you for a match at our next pay-per-view, Extreme Rules, but I mean, I really don't trust anybody, because Edge even cuts a promo saying that he's turning his attention back to the Universal Championship. And obviously Brock Lesnar being in the picture. Finn Balor wasn't going to wait. He said, no, I'm not going to wait till Extreme Rules and have somebody jump in front of me again. I'm going to challenge you next week for the Universal Championship. And he throws the mic at Roman Reigns and attacks him, so he really doesn't even give him that long of a chance to answer. But, I mean, you can expect that we're going to get that match next week, Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. And obviously Roman's going to win, but you know they're going to do some storytelling there. Is this where Brock Lesnar makes his appearance? He damn sure might. He can go out there and, I don't know, because if he interfered in a title match, it wouldn't be to help Roman Reigns. So it wouldn't screw over Finn Balor. You know what I'm trying to say? So I think that Brock Lesnar isn't going to get involved. If anything, this is going to be an Uso interference, or maybe a Paul Heyman trying to show that he is loyal to Roman Reigns. So we'll see. Definitely something to keep you tuned in next week to SmackDown, because, I mean, you guys know I'm not a fan of the championship matches being on free TV and being on SmackDown, but we're going to get a Universal Championship match most likely next week. So, I mean, it is what it is. I guess enjoy it. If you're a fan of Finn Balor, if you're a fan of Roman Reigns, and you're going to see a pretty good match, I expect, and it's definitely going to be the main event of SmackDown. So we already know what is in store for next week. But let's continue on here with something that happened this week. And this actually opened the show. It was Becky Lynch coming out and kind of just, you know, explaining to the fans why she did what she did. Not really giving us that much of an in-depth explanation. It was more so saying, hey, I miss you guys. And, you know, I was very deadly before I had to relinquish my championship. And she explained how giving up her championship it was more than just, you know, giving up the Raw Women's Championship. She felt like it was giving up her identity and who she was. And as you can expect, I mean, there's some uncomfortability with all that, you know? I mean, when you're used to being a certain someone, and especially her, she was at the height of her career when that happened. I mean, maybe not as hot as the run up to WrestleMania, but she was still on the mountaintop whenever she relinquished her championship. So you could expect why, or you can understand why she would feel that way. But what she was trying to say is that if you thought I was extremely dangerous then, you have no idea what I'm capable of now. Now that I'm not only fighting for myself, in reference to the family that she has now. So I believe it. I feel like this is like a second win for Becky Lynch. I think that she went and had her kid. She had, according to her, a year and a half off. So she is ready. She's ready for another run. I feel like this is going to be another good Becky Lynch run. Clearly a hill. I'm not sure if we got the official quote-unquote turn, you know. But whenever she was being challenged for or by all the women who eventually come out in this opening segment, she really only gives one short answer and a response, and it's a response that certainly a heel would make. After mentioning that she beat Bianca Belair in 26 seconds at SummerSlam, you eventually hear Bianca Belair's music, and she comes out to stand up for herself. She really doesn't make very many excuses. I mean, she takes ownership for losing the match, despite it being, like I said, in 26 seconds, so she's embarrassed about it. She doesn't feel good about it. And she says, hey, I mean, I accepted your on-the-spot last-minute challenge at SummerSlam, so why don't you give me a championship match tonight right here? I mean, the crowd at Little Rock pops. It looks like Becky Lynch is considering it. And then Zelina Vega comes out. Zelina Vega comes out and then says, hey, no, the match is with me. And she begins to mention, and this is a big part for me, she mentions that she had the promised opportunity, or at least she starts to. She says, I was promised a championship match. Just go back and listen. Right whenever Carmella's music hits, Zelina Vega is starting to say that, hey, whenever Sasha Banks was still in the picture, I was promised a match immediately after this feud ended. I know Sasha Banks didn't lose the match. That's not my problem. I was promised this match next, so I'm not going to get jumped just because Becky Lynch comes back. That's pretty much the angle she was going to take. But Carmella comes out, and this is just, in terms of all the women, because even Liv Morgan comes out, which is, and Kevin Owens was putting her over, by the way, said, hey, listen to that crowd. Sounds pretty pretty positive for Liv Morgan. It's almost like they want to see her, right? I mean, that's kind of how I feel, too. Obviously, the WWE Universe likes Liv Morgan. I feel like she's definitely, her best days are certainly ahead of her. What is she, only like 25 years old? Extremely young. She definitely has a bright future in WWE. And I'm sorry, casual wrestling fan, but she is not going anywhere. But so she comes out anyway. My whole point in saying all this is that Carmella is the one out of all four of these women that came out to try to challenge Becky Lynch. Carmella is the least relevant. I mean, the only leg she stands on is how hot she is. And in my personal opinion, she is not the hottest woman. She wasn't even the hottest woman that was even in the ring during the segment. I know that's completely irrelevant, but if that's what you're going to tell me, like if, let's say Dolph Ziggler, his whole gimmick was, hey, I'm ripped, I'm shredded, I'm the biggest guy in terms of muscles in WWE, and he was trying to say that while Bobby Lashley was in the ring, I would call him out and say, no, you're not the buffest guy in WWE. That dude's actually standing in the ring. So that's kind of where I'm going with that whole thing. Definitely not why I watch wrestling. Carmella is just, I don't know. I feel like she needs to find a new catchphrase or something like that, because I feel like whenever she came back and she was kind of feuding with Sasha Banks during the whole Reginald era, she showed improvement in the ring. And I thought they were going to do something with that. But since she's come back, the whole vignettes, it's 100% been about her looks. So that's it. Like that's the thing. Her and Eva Marie are literally cut from the same cloth. You might as well put them on the WrestleMania pre-show bra and panties match, or whatever type of Divas era, Ruthless Aggression era match you're going to try to put. Because, I mean, it seems like you're going in that direction here with these two. So I'm going to leave that right there. But we do, I mean, because Becky Lynch just says, Nah, because Bianca tries to say, hey, screw these girls. They're not even in this. This is between me and you. So what are we going to do here? Let's have this match. Becky says, nah, not tonight. She leaves. We get an elimination fatal four-way match. I thought it was just a normal fatal four-way. So when Bianca hit the KOD to Zelina to make the first elimination, I thought that the match was over right there. And then whenever they kept going, I was like, oh, like I guess this is an elimination match. So after that, Liv Morgan eliminates Carmella, only to lose to the Kiss of Death by Bianca Belair. So Bianca does earn her rematch for her championship that she lost this past Saturday at SummerSlam. But one thing I did write down here about this entire segment, whenever Bianca Belair first came out, she was doing her normal entrance, just step for step, as if it was choreographed, as if she was still the champion. I mean, she just lost it, and we've seen this happen in the past. You know, Kofi Kingston loses his championship. The next week, he's coming out throwing pancakes. That's exactly pretty much what Bianca did. She was coming out. She was doing her little skip, jumping on the apron, smacking herself on the butt. You know, she was doing her normal thing that she does. And it just rubbed me the wrong way because how high I am on Bianca. I mean, almost a year ago, I started doing this podcast in October. Late October, I remember basically jumping out and saying, hey, I'm calling it right now. Bianca Belair is going to win the Royal Rumble. And I wasn't sure if it was legitimately going to happen because she was an up-and-coming star. That's not usually the direction that WWE goes, or at least here recently. That's not what they do. It's usually established stars who win the Royal Rumble. And they gave it to Bianca Belair, and I thought that was something that, you know, was extremely special. Her build-up to a WrestleMania match was incredible. And she loses like this. Like, and it's embarrassing for SmackDown because it's really the only thing that I feel like you can say that's extremely negative about SmackDown. And what sucks is it really wasn't even supposed to happen. Like, Becky Lynch came back, and she's not a SmackDown superstar. You know, Becky Lynch was a Raw superstar whenever she left. I damn sure didn't expect her to come back to SmackDown. SmackDown didn't need her. I mean, as much as a talented superstar as she is, as over as she is with all the crowd, and of course, you want Becky Lynch on your roster. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is Raw needed her. Raw is the brand that needs the star power, that needs a shot in the arm, that could have used a Brock Lesnar and a Becky Lynch coming back to your show. If you bring back Brock Lesnar and have him feud with Bobby, and then you bring Becky Lynch back and have her feud with Charlotte, given that Charlotte has a little bit of a Roman Reigns thing going on herself where she's at a place she's never been before in terms of her character and just her delivery and the way the fans view her, it's different. She's shed a layer and she's becoming a new version of herself, despite not really changing much, you know, about her gear and stuff. You can tell that just Charlotte the person is in a different place in her life. And I think that's starting to translate to Charlotte the character in the WWE. And it's obvious. And I'm happy for her. She is the champion. And I feel like Becky Lynch feuding with her and then Brock feuding with Bobby, man, that would have made Raw Monday Night Raw. You know what I'm saying? Like the Raw that we all remember from our childhood and stuff like that, whenever it really was the A show. So I don't know, but I mean, they both came to SmackDown, so that's what we're going to get. Despite not seeing Brock Lesnar, it's clear that this is going to be a SmackDown program. And Michael Cole said himself on the Pat McAfee show that they both came back to SmackDown. That's the only person I needed to hear say it to believe that they are definitely on the SmackDown roster. I mean, Becky Lynch, pretty obvious SmackDown Women's Champion. She's not going to show up on Raw, but Brock Lesnar was the one that I was very surprised. So I don't really want to see any type of cross-brand stuff going with these two. I want to see them stay true to their show. I would have felt the exact same way if they went to Raw, stay over there. So, I mean, that's what I really want. And speaking of all that, Naomi comes back. And she just says, hey, I'm the newest member of SmackDown again. And she kind of has a little moment with Sonya Deville where she's basically saying, like, hey, show me my next match. You know, I'm ready for, you know, to prove myself. And despite, I mean, everybody on SmackDown knows who Naomi is. You know, she's been on SmackDown. I'm pretty sure she was on the original SmackDown Live roster when the brand split made its return back in 2016. So I was a little bit surprised there that she was trying to make it seem like almost that she was an NXT call-up, you know, someone like Doudrop. But I might have just read that wrong or just got a different view on that. But either way, Sonya Deville didn't seem to give her that much of a warm welcome. She was like, well, to be honest, I didn't even know you were coming over to SmackDown. Nobody really okayed that with me. Like, I mean, are you trying to say you don't want her on SmackDown? I don't really understand the reason why you're upset here. So she says, I don't know. I'll see what I can do, and I'll tell you next week. So That's what we're going to do. We'll probably see Naomi in a match next week, but maybe if we're talking about Sonya Deville making a return, then at least a return to the ring, this would be a good start. I mean, for some reason, what's her beef with Naomi? That was a little weird to me. I didn't know of any history between those two. But we all want to see Sonya Deville come back. And just talking about Sonya, I don't know if I've mentioned this on a show in the past. I don't think I have. But because, I mean, honestly, you guys, if any of you have any podcasting history or anything like that, when you start to drop episodes on a weekly basis and you've already done like 40 plus, like I do believe this is like 47 for me, I think it is, something like that. But you forget what you say sometimes. That's why, I mean, people get on to Matt or they say, hey, you repeat yourself. I mean, dude, when you have this many podcasts, you're likely going to say something more than once. So I don't know if I've said this before or not, but it's about Sonya Deville and where I think her character really took a hit. And it might not even be like breaking news or anything like that. People might feel the same way. But I feel like Ronda Rousey coming to the WWE is the worst thing that happened to Sonya Deville's character. And I'm not saying that there's any type of like connection between those two, like off air or anything like that. Because we've seen them like on Total Divas or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, we've seen them actually connect or communicate off air. So that's really not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is like her character being like an MMA fighter. Whenever you see somebody like Ronda Rousey show up, it just basically diminishes all of that. I mean, it does, at least your credibility. I make a lot of football references here, and I do apologize, but it's the only way I feel like I can paint a good picture. So that's kind of what I'm going to try to do here. Because Ronda Rousey was one of the biggest UFC stars of all time. I mean, and she really is. During that time, whenever she made her return, it was like, or whenever she made her debut in WWE, she was at an extremely high point in terms of like pop culture. You know, everybody knew who Ronda Rousey was, even if you didn't watch UFC. I don't really watch UFC that much, but I knew who Ronda Rousey was. So that's basically all I needed to know, because I was a casual UFC fan and I know who Ronda Rousey is. So the whole world pretty much was aware that she was in WWE. And the reason I said I was going to make a football comparison here is because think of it like this. What if there was somebody in WWE who their gimmick was they were like a quarterback who wrestled? You know, I mean, their whole thing was just like throwing the ball or something like that. They came out like in pads and something like that. And they were trying to portray that they were an actual quarterback. And then WWE goes and signs Tom Brady. Like, as fans, are we going to be like, ooh, look at this quarterback over here, whenever we have Tom Brady literally sitting there and we know that he is a thoroughbred, true, actual, you know, badass quarterback? I mean, Ronda Rousey was, obviously Tom Brady's been around for a lot longer, but you can compare their star power and say, hey, it's not that far off. And I feel like that's kind of what happened. I know that might not have been the best analogy there, but you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, whenever somebody who's one of the greatest of all time shows up and you're trying to be somebody who's basically like a great value Dollar General UFC fighter, then I don't know. I mean, I have nothing against Sonya Deville, but I mean, that I feel like that gimmick, it took a hit. And there's a reason why she went away from it, I feel like. So I want to see her come back. With a long-winded, off-topic Sonya Deville rant there, what I would like to see is her and Naomi and some type of feud, just get Sonya Deville off of the WWE official train or whatever that is, because she even said, nobody okayed that with me. Is that a little bit of a, you know, sneak peek that they're trying to exclude her from plans? Where's Adam Pearce? He wasn't on the show tonight. At least, I mean, maybe he's more so sticking to Raw. I don't know. I doubt it. But either way, the people actually in WWE could be trying to exclude Sonya from like their discussions about superstars going from one brand to the other. It could have been nothing. She could have just said that as a way to further explain that she's not okay with Naomi being here because nobody okayed it with her. But either way, I hope that we get a Naomi versus Sonya Deville feud at some point here in the fall. Moving on to something else that happened here in the show, let's talk about Happy Corbin. He pulls up to the arena in a Bentley, and he's dressed a lot nicer. He's got a shaved head. He shaved his face. He's dressed, like I said, a lot nicer, like with a hat on, with a suit. He's got a lot more confidence, and he's telling us how happy he is because his luck's finally turned around from the luck that he was having for the better part of, like, what, 6 weeks, where he was just walking around looking like a wreck, a bag of bones, as Pat McAfee would say. I mean, he's just, he wasn't on the right path. I mean, I know it was a storyline, but you could tell. I mean, Baron Corbin, he was getting roasted by everybody in the locker room. He would even try to steal money from people. He would go over to Raw and get embarrassed over there, too. So it was entertaining stuff. And like I said a little bit earlier, I feel like they really did it the right way with Baron Corbin. But he tries to offer Big E $100,000 for his Money in the Bank briefcase. And Big E obviously isn't going to accept that. And Baron Corbin eventually leaves, or Happy Corbin. He debuted a new theme song too. That's another thing I'll say. It was like a slot machine type jackpot entrance. So that's definitely his gimmick, as somebody. It's almost like that Cameron Grimes type vibe from NXT, where he hit the lottery. I know that's not what Grimes did, but that's basically what they're trying to imply that happened to Happy Corbin, is that he got lucky at the casino in Las Vegas or something like that, and he definitely got on the right side, or on the good side of Lady Luck, and now he is loaded with cash enough to offer Big E $100,000 for his Money in the Bank briefcase, and that does not go over well with Big E. I mean, Baron Corbin says, "Hey man, I can give you something for that right now," when in reality you're going to cash it in, you're probably going to lose, and you're not going to get anything out of it. So take the money right now. And Big E references that Baron Corbin's actually one of the people who did lose their lose the match whenever they cashed in the briefcase. So he had an unsuccessful cash-in, and they reference that too. I know that Kevin Owens, that's another thing. Just getting off topic again, Kevin Owens was on commentary with Corey Graves and Michael Cole. I kind of expected Corey Graves to be there whenever DJ Kuzmo tagged me on Twitter that he was going to be there. But I didn't expect Kevin Owens to stick around for the whole show, and he did. It was a three-man booth for the entire SmackDown, and that's another thing that was funny that Corey Graves said is when he made his appearance, he said, "I'm here to put the W back in SmackDown," obviously referencing Pat McAfee always saying SmackDown. But Corey Graves is from Pittsburgh just like Pat, so he gets it. That's a little funny connection that they got there. I love it, but yeah, I just thought that was weird that we had a three-man booth. Corey Graves and Michael Cole definitely could have done it, but I'm a Kevin Owens fan, so I'm fine with him making an appearance there on the commentary table, and he adds experience there. Like, not commentary table experience, but in-ring experience. So his perspective is obviously valued, and I loved whenever he was putting over Liv Morgan and explaining how the crowd was popping for her. That was definitely good on KO, and he knows exactly what he's doing. But continuing on here to some more stuff that happened. Only like three more items here, if I'm not mistaken. Sami Zayn defeated Dominic Mysterio via pinfall. Dominic, I don't know if he just sold it really well, but whenever he was going for that 619 on Sami Zayn, and Sami pulled the rope down, and Dominic went through, it looked like he hit his head pretty hard on the side of, or outside of the ring, just on the mat. It looked like he, you know, got a rock there, but he might not have. He did finish the match, but the most important thing from this entire segment, Sami Zayn beat him after a haluva kick. Rey Mysterio told Dominic that it's time for him to basically quote unquote fly on his own. And it's time for his father, Rey Mysterio, to go to the wayside, just go away and let Dominic walk on his own. So I do expect that's going to happen soon. I don't know how long it's going to last. Dominic has shown improvement in the ring. I really can only think of a handful of times that he's disappointed or not had a great match, but other than that, I mean, for only being in WWE for a year, he's doing great. So I wouldn't mind seeing Dominic continue here, but it's going to be tough without his dad. I don't really know what they're going to do. They're going to have to give him a damn good storyline. He's going to have to show a lot of improvement on the mic to be able to go by himself. But I'm excited to see what is going to happen with it. I want to know, are they going to bring him down to NXT? I know NXT is going to have like a new logo and a new brand here coming soon, so I don't even know what to expect from NXT. But just as far as Rey Mysterio leaving, because I mean, Dominic was even mad at him for whatever reason. Rey was at ringside whenever Dominic got hurt. Because whenever Dominic made his entrance, Rey was right there with him, and then he turned around. He was going to let Dominic have this match one-on-one. But when Dominic fell out of the ring and hit his head, which looked like it was supposed to happen, it was a work. But sometimes you are doing something and you accidentally hit your head too hard. That's what I thought happened there, because it just looked like he literally banged his head on the ground. Rey Mysterio comes out and he stays out there for the rest of the match. And after Dominic loses, he is trying to, you know, help him up, and Dominic just doesn't want it. He's kind of pushing him away. So it's clear that these two are splitting up. they're trying to make it seem like Ray is trying to go away on his own. Dominic seems like he's trying to push him away. I think every week we're going to get one step further in this, and we're going to eventually see Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio maybe, you know, go to fisticuffs. That would be all good on my end. I would love to see Rey and Dominic have a little bit of a program against each other before Rey Mysterio officially hangs the mask up. Another thing that happened here on SmackDown, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs defeated Robert Roode and Dolph Ziggler. So, I mean, Boog gets the win here again with the pump handle slam. So they've had him win the match in both of his appearances. I like it. I want to see Rick Boogs continue to, you know, show up in the ring. He's, in terms of muscular, he's huge. He's completely jacked. So I would love to see him continue on here. I don't know what they're going to do. As far as him and Shinsuke Nakamura's alliance, eventually that's probably going to run its course. It's still good right now. Their whole electric guitar thing. I love the electric guitar. I love music in general. So I would love to see that to continue. But we'll see what happens. Pat McAfee loves it too. And maybe just being a Pat McAfee guy, it's entertaining whenever he goes out there and they're standing on the table just jamming out. I love Shinsuke Nakamura's entrance. So if I was there, I would probably be doing the same thing with him. Just saying. So the last thing that I'm going to talk about here, and we'll kind of end on this note, is Cesaro defeats Chad Gable. Well, I mean, it wasn't like a real win. It was a disqualification because Otis interfered whenever Cesaro put Chad Gable in the swing. But I will say, I kind of called this matchup. If you guys remember, I was talking about, but the only thing I didn't get right was I thought that the Intercontinental Championship was going to be involved. I called a while back whenever Cesaro looked like he was feuding with Apollo Crews that he was going to win that Intercontinental Championship and ended up being Shinsuke, but I thought that it might be Cesaro. And he didn't win, but I thought that Cesaro was going to win that Intercontinental Championship and then Otis was going to come challenging him. It looks like we might get Otis versus Cesaro now that he interfered, caused the disqualification. He's the bigger star in the Alpha Academy, so you want him to go one-on-one with Cesaro. I just thought that was, you know, one of those random things that I kind of saw from a mile away, Otis versus Cesaro. I just thought that maybe it was going to be for a championship because Otis is, he's on his way. I'll tell you that, whether it's the SmackDown Tag Team Championships or the Intercontinental Championship, maybe he goes over to Raw, pushes Damian Priest for that United States Championship. I think that Otis is going to have some championship gold on his shoulder soon. I would say around his waist, but I don't know if that's going to work out there. So I think that maybe right there over his shoulder, he's going to have a championship soon, and I'm all for it. I would love to see Otis rock some championship gold because I'm an Otis fan. Since he cut his hair and all this stuff, he seems a lot more legit, a lot more credible. His character just seems a lot more believable rather than somebody that's just, you know, acting like a doofus the whole time. So I'm all for this stuff. Give me Otis versus Cesaro going forward. But we do have a lot of good stuff going forward. We got Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch returning, her and Bianca Belair are going to have an actual match. Hopefully that'll be a lot better than their 26-second outing that they had at SummerSlam. Obviously, just the entire Bloodline stuff. It is very good. I mean, SmackDown is something that every week I'm going to tune in, obviously, not just because I cover the show, but because I love it. I mean, I didn't watch all of Raw this week, and that's the first time that that's happened in a very long time. And, I mean, a lot of it had to do with time. I tweeted a little bit earlier, or last night anyways, I've been watching The Office. I started watching The Office for the first time this summer. I'm on season 6 right now. And if you've seen The Office, that you know, probably, when you get to season 6, you are in. You are extremely invested, and that's exactly what I am right now. I love that show. So wanting to, you know, being so, you know, in the thick of it with The Office probably had a little bit to do with why I watched, you know, like an hour and a half to 2 hours of Raw, and then said, yeah, I'll watch that later, and then I'll, you know, throw on some Office. Ended up not watching Raw, but I did listen to the Raw review. So you guys better be listening to the Raw review as well. Also, check out the Mailbag episode, Highs and Lows, A&W review, NXT review, WWE rivalries, Weekend review. Let's see, what else we got going on here? The What Ifs, the Nostalgia. I did see a new show that dropped, New School versus Old School, Mimi Burris and Michael Gross. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Michael Gross. He is an absolute gem on this show. So definitely check that out. They're providing some damn good content, as do all the other co-hosts here on the show. There's a damn good team here. I'm privileged to be a small part of it, and I'm glad that I get to cover SmackDown. I do feel a little bit lucky because SmackDown is kicking ass right now. SmackDown can't compete with any show, I promise. just the way they do things, the way they book. SmackDown was good even back in the day, and I feel like WWE right now, they are they're the poster child, I guess. If WWE wants to show their best commentary team, look over to SmackDown. Some of their top stars, it's over there on SmackDown. So I am definitely privileged to be here, and I thank you guys for tuning in every week. If you do, if you're a new listener, hope you will tune in every week. Hope that you enjoy the stuff that we got going on here. Like I just said, it's a good team, so this is your one-stop shop for all of your pro wrestling action, not just WWE. We got you covered on AEW as well, so definitely check out all the episodes that we have going on here. Call in, leave your voicemails, email Matt if you want to get on the mailbag and have your voice heard here on the show, and you can even talk to us, you know, Discord server. Whenever pay-per-views happen, most of the co-hosts, or if not some of them, are definitely in there. I know me, Matt, Mimi, DJ Kuzmo, Amanda Jin, a lot of people make their appearances in the Discord server on a, you know, consistent basis, and it's fun. Talking about the pay-per-view as it's happening live, it's something that, you know, I've only done the handful of times that we've done it here on the Discord server. Other than that, you know, you're kind of stuck with your own thoughts. Maybe get on Twitter and tweet them, but it's nice being in a little bit of a chat room there as the pay-per-view is going on. So I guess with all that being said, shout out to all of you guys for listening. Shout out to everybody that contributes to the mailbag and just keeps this thing going on a weekly basis. We're getting into the fall here. As you guys know, I'm a huge football fan, so I'm looking forward to that. But also some of the content that we're going to have going on in wrestling. The fall is an underrated time of wrestling when you're just talking about between SummerSlam to Survivor Series. And then we kind of end the fall, get into winter whenever we get to the Royal Rumble. So do not sleep on the, you know, autumn to fall, early winter time period of the WWE calendar. But once again, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope all of you have a great rest of your weekend. Hope you all have a great week until I talk to you, which will be next week. So walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and I'll talk to you soon.